The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. We kick things off in the Premier League in the North London Derby. Arsenal taking on Spurs. I tell you what, this was pretty much done and dusted in the opening 35 minutes. Arsenal flying out the trap. Smith Rowe would make it 1-0. Aubameyang then would double their advantage in the 27th minute. And then Saka makes it 3-0. All those goals coming 10 minutes before the break. Impressive stuff from Arsenal. Son would get one back. But Arsenal then taking all 3 points. Well, let's welcome Frank and Craig to the show to reflect on that result. Craig, Arsenal.
I told you.
You did.
I told you Friday when I was being Mr. Positive and you and Shaka were being the negative brothers. I said to you, Tottenham are a shambles.
Yeah.
I mean, Palace took them apart, and I mean took them apart. Then after a good, decent 20 minutes against Chelsea or half an hour, they took them apart, could have had 5 in the second half, and now Arsenal have taken them apart for 45 minutes basically, and then sort of switched off. And for anybody who thinks Tottenham were any good in the second half, well, Arsenal were 3-0 up, took the foot off the gas. But I think the Harry Kane falling over the ball for the third goal kind of sums Tottenham and him up at the moment, and you know, just absolutely going nowhere. But look, the one thing from Arsenal's perspective is, and Arteta did it last year when his backside was in the hot seat, he got some results, and he's done it again thus far. But more importantly, that whole back line has changed. You know, with Tomiyasu, with the goalkeeper, with Ben White being back in fit again, like they were at Burnley, Gabriel back in. Kieran Tierney's a very, very good player. We know that. And then Thomas Partey in front at least gives them... And I'm talking about from a low bar here. I'm not saying this is Chelsea or Liverpool or City or United. I'm saying from a low bar, this is at least something to work with. And it was much better. And that's got to give Arsenal fans at least some hope going forward that they can put some results together.
I know the inclination from a defensive perspective, Stevie, is to talk about Spurs, but let's just focus on Arsenal just for the moment. Considering, as Craig was saying, we were sat here saying pretty much Arteta's got 2 games to save his career or save his job. He's turned it around, and then a big win, of course, today as well.
Well, I think the biggest thing is you can see a way out for Arteta and for Arsenal. You know, the back four that played today is no question their back four. Tierney's one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League. And you look at White and Gabriel in the middle, they actually looked pretty solid today and previously. So it's something to build on. Ramsdale and goal made a couple of great saves. You know, the middle of the park looks as though it's hungry, it's got pace, it's actually got ability. You know, with Smith Rowe and Saka going at defenders, it's frightening because they look as though they're going to beat them every time they do it. And then you've got Aubameyang, who, if he can get some consistency in his game, then they can actually win games.
Right.
How are Spurs going to win a game?
Yeah.
Because defensively, seriously, Sanchez and Dyer at the back, I think Lloris has passed his best. I think in the middle of the park, they can't stop anybody getting at that back line. And they certainly can't feed the forwards any ball. So what does the midfield do? They don't actually do anything. So why is Harry Kane not scoring any goals? Well, one, he's not playing centre forward. And two, he's now become the guy who's trying to orchestrate things when that's just not... He didn't make his name doing that.
Sure.
Yes, he had a spell with Heung-min Song last year where it looked like this was a guy who could pick passes. But you know when it's expected? It's a completely different ball game. So... Arsenal, absolutely, there's a way out. Spurs, I don't see a way out.
Yeah, Frank, obviously, what stood out from that Spurs performance was just the complete lack of cohesion at the back, just continually giving Arsenal gifts. How difficult is that to address for them?
Well, I mean, it's not only at the back. It's also, for me, especially in the middle of the park. And I would have been Nuno Espirito Santo. I would have made some changes after 30 minutes. I mean, where were Dele Alli and a little bit less, but still Luka Mouras, you know, defensively in the middle of the park? They were nowhere. And only Holberg was a little bit working. But what you can do when you're on your own? I think... The coach is responsible for not making changes, but it's true that at the back, something has to be changed, you know, especially on the, I think it's the second goal. Yeah, no, on Saka, the third goal. I mean, that's awful. And you see Kane coming back, coming down, trying to tackle when he lost the ball. So it means that he has a commitment. But I think overall, the difference between Arsenal and Tottenham today in a derby and a North London derby is one team had the mindset ready for that when the other team were completely nowhere near it. That's the main difference, you know. And you know that it's not the game of the century, but you know it's a derby. You know you have to please the fans. You have to be up for it. And one team wasn't there, and it was Spurs, and the other one was working hard, and it's Arsenal. That makes the difference. But Nuno Espirito Santo has to work with the defensive aspect of the game for his team, but not only with the defenders, but also with all the players, and especially, again, the middle of the park. I don't know. Dele Alli, I think he didn't want to play today.
How concerned would you be if you're a Spurs fan after this performance, Craig?
I wouldn't. I would have been concerned after the last three performances, maybe four. So it's not a surprise. So I would be hugely concerned. And, you know, not only the coach, but Levy and Harry Kane, they're going to carry the can if these results keep going. And not because Harry Kane is not trying or is not a good player, but they're all out of sorts. And, you know, the punters will say, well, yeah, upset the apple cart in the summer. He pushed for his move. He didn't get it. He doesn't really want to be here. He's not playing well. He's doing this. He's out of position. So it's just going to be a nightmare for them. But they're looking like, at best, a mid-table side at the moment. And, you know, Stevie's right. They brought in some defenders in the summer, or at least one defender from Italy. So he's going to have to figure something. We know at Wolves for a long period, up until the end, where he went back to a back four, I think, when he lost players. He generally played with three at the back for a long period at Wolves, and they had limited success with it. He might have to come up with something with the personnel he's got that's going to get this Tottenham team back in a decent shape, because... They're all over the parish, and it's not just today. That's the problem. You don't just look at it as a one-off and say, bad day at the office, let's move on. It has been a bad couple of weeks at the office, big time.
Let's just remind you then how things stand after that result. Arsenal move into the top 10. Remember, Spurs won their opening three matches. They are now officially very much in free fall. Just to reflect on what happened overall this weekend, Liverpool, of course, did that draw against Brentford. But the big game at Stamford Bridge saw Manchester City take all 3 points. That Jesus goal in the second half, seeing Pep Guardiola's side take the victory, Craig. This was I thought this was a real statement from City, Craig.
Yeah, we talked about this on Friday, and you know, most of us went for a Chelsea win, myself included. But you know, if you remember, I said, like, you just can't. I think going back over what I said on Friday, I'm not as confident as I was last year that this City side can put that magnificent 19 winning games, I think it was, of a run together. But you cannot write them off just because of the amount of quality that they have. And I was shocked at just how much they controlled this game and how little Chelsea did. And look, he went with the extra midfielder in there and Timo Werner played and it didn't work. And I know he went to the extra midfielder in the Tottenham game, but he did it at halftime when the game wasn't going their way. And so I was a little surprised he went that way. And you know, the one issue for Tottenham, for Man City, is still that for all that possession, you know, it's, and I talked about this with Stevie yesterday, is that, you know, it's still only 1-0 and they're scraping and scratching a goal because they don't have a natural striker. But it was a much, much better performance from a City perspective.
It really was, Stevie, considering the state of these two teams going into this clash. Everyone, of course, very impressed with Chelsea so far. City stuttering somewhat, especially in that game against Southampton. It's like they found that extra gear.
Well, for a team so talented, they found that extra desire.
Right.
You saw them at the end of the game when the final whistle went. I mean, you would have thought there'd been a trophy on line here. That's how important this game was. But the worrying thing from a City point is they dominated this game so much, but yet in the end could have gone home with a draw.
Right.
Because of that one problem.
Well, they didn't, though. They did win.
It's going to be... And everybody throws back, well, they did it last season, but not having a centre-forward.
Yeah.
But I don't see how they can do it the rest of the season with Phil Foden or Raheem Sterling. I mean, they've got a supposed centre-forward in Jesus who never seems to be in a centre-forward position. And any time he does, he actually ends up scoring like he did, albeit by a deflection. So, from a title-winning point of view, you can't keep relying on this when you dominate teams so much.
Right.
You just can't.
Frank, from a Chelsea perspective, Tuchel was disappointed with how much respect his side gave City too much. He felt they were a bit too timid going into this game.
Well, he's right, you know, that was a very disappointed performance, and it's hard to criticise the Blues because so far they've done well, and they can have a non-game once, but it was a game against maybe the contender, and I wanted them to show a certain statement, which never happened, and I mean, it was disappointed by the behaviour of some players, I think. The fact that they don't want to fight like they used to fight against Manchester City last season, especially in the final of the Champions League. That was a complete non-games. I didn't understand that. They waited for the goal to be conceded to react. It's why I didn't understand. I say, well, okay, Manchester City dominated very well, deserved to win, but suddenly when you concede a goal, you react and now you become dangerous. What happened before? Mm. Why didn't do that before? That's, again, we talked about Arsenal and Tottenham, a difference of mindset. A team ready to be courageous, to go forward, to try against a team too shy, maybe too timid or maybe too respectful. You are the Champions League winner, so you have to show your strength. Chelsea didn't, and it's sad for the fans, but it's not the end of the world.
But listen, it's okay for him to talk about, you know, we were too timid and we sat off them. And he said plenty of praise in his tenure at Chelsea, and deservedly so. And he's been praised for making in-game changes in his team selection, in his rotation, and blah, blah, blah. But if they're too timid and they're sitting off Man City, it's his job to change that. Mm. It's his job to get on the touchline and make sure they're getting up the pitch another 10, 15, 20 yards to go and press, to win some tackles. And it's also his job to pick the side. And I'm afraid, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but he's got this one wrong. He hasn't generally played that way with two up front in his time at Chelsea. Certainly not from the start of games. He's done it this time and it didn't work for him. So, in some sense, on this occasion, he got it wrong. But listen, it might not be a bad thing in the long run for Chelsea, because maybe these Chelsea players were starting to read the headlines and, you know, listen to all the pundits and shows talking about them, how, oh, they're now the favourites and they've got Lukaku and everything's wonderful and this system's great and the coach is great. And City have gone down there, you know, after a decent start to the season, but not great, without a real top-class striker, and completely played them off the park. So a little eye-opener for Chelsea here and their coach.
Meanwhile, of course, it was a good day overall for Manchester City, not only picking up all 3 points, but their City rivals losing at home against Aston Villa. Obviously, one goal in it, that goal coming late, late drama as well surrounding the Manchester City penalty. Manchester United penalty, Bruno Fernandes, of course, missing it late on. Where do you want to start with this, Craig?
Well, I mean, it's another poor result. It's another decent performance, but not brilliant. And again, they're at home. I mean, they've just been put out of the Carabao Cup by West Ham at home. They've just lost in the Champions League at Young Boys of Bern, hardly a juggernaut of European football. And so the manager has to be under some sort of pressure to get results. And you know, I don't really know where to start. One of the things I'm intrigued by here is that they've spent this money on Jadon Sancho, and once again, and I don't know if he's got any sort of injury. He was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yes.
I think he was. Yeah. He didn't even play a part in the game. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there. And also, they haven't. I think they've kept one clean sheet in something like 16 games or something. So, yeah, hardly ideal.
Frank, obviously, you were one of the main penalty takers when you were playing for Chelsea. I'm just wondering how you, what you made of the skullduggery from Martinez, of course, asking Cristiano Ronaldo to take the penalty, Bruno Fernandes very much in the middle of all this furore that was going on pretty much for 30 seconds before the penalty was taken. Did Martinez get in Fernandes's head?
No, I don't think so. I think he tried to mostly play with Ronaldo, but not with Fernandes. We can see Fernandes being, you know, just thinking about his penalty and not being, you know, annoyed by anybody. Martinez just tried to play with Ronaldo, but after, I mean, I can't believe that. I mean, a guy with so much technique, how can you put the ball so high over the net? I mean, I wasn't that technique. It never happened to me. I mean, the only guy that I saw doing that because he slipped just before was poorly David Beckham, because he slipped and he lost his move and he put the ball away. But there, you have nothing. How come you can do that? Sorry, but I kept on laughing when I saw that. I said, it's impossible. You know, okay, how can you can you miss that? And Martinez was right. Ronaldo should have taken that penalty. It could have been worse.
Your European Cup final penalty wasn't even that high, Stevie.
No. Made mine look like a daisy cutter.
Yeah, very much so. What did you make of it?
I couldn't understand why Fernandes went away from his usual run-up. That's right. What surprised me more than anything. Because I don't remember him ever a couple of steps and blasting a ball. He always does the slow little skippity hop, whatever you want to call it. Goalie goes down, he puts it in the other corner. That's the bit I don't understand, why he didn't do that. Makes no sense to me.
Ronaldo will take the next penalty?
I would assume so. Your main penalty taker misses.
Yeah.
Misses horribly. Now, if you don't have Ronaldo on your side, then you might think about letting Fernandes go again. But if I'm the coach, I'm going, well, I've got Ronaldo. He's taking the next one.
Problem, of course, for Manchester United, that penalty miss aside, is that they've lost three of their last four matches, and October is really rough for them. Obviously, they've got Villarreal midweek, then Everton, then away against Leicester, and then Atalanta in the Champions League, then Liverpool away against Spurs, Atalanta, and Manchester City. Craig, you look at that list, and there's nowhere, is there, for Solskjaer to breathe?
No, and the start to the season has been you know, a pretty soft start in terms of including the Champions League game away from home and the Carabao Cup game at home, and the league start has been against teams you think, that's going to get us off to a decent start. And, you know, it's you know, draw at Southampton, should have probably dropped points later on at West Ham, although they'll say the same with the missed penalty. By the way, I thought Man United didn't get penalties. We talked about this Friday. That's 33 now under Solskjaer, if I can count right from our graphic on Friday.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's going to heat up for him. Look, I'm not going to repeat myself on here. You know, the other clubs, and Tuchel's had a bad day, and Klopp didn't have a great day, and Guardiola did. He had a very good day, but these are great managers, right? United don't, and I'm kicking over this, right? And people need to get their head out of the quicksand here. United don't have a great manager. They've got a player who was great for them managing the football club. It's completely different. So it'll all come out in the shake-up, but I've seen nothing so far from United, apart from the odd glimmer in games against teams that they should beat. I've seen nothing so far that's going to suggest that the only way they're going to hang on the coattails of the rest is if Ronaldo keeps popping up every game and pulls them out of the gutter with goals. That's the only way that I can see them holding on to the other teams that they should be vying for this title with. And that, after signing Varane, Sancho, who wasn't used, and Ronaldo, I don't think it's a very good place to be.
Last word on what we saw in the Premier League this weekend with you, Stevie. How concerned are you that Liverpool concede three against Brentford?
Listen, I've played in great teams that have lost three at places like Brentford.
Right.
And sometimes it just happens. And I think Matip and Van Dijk were shocked by the physical presence that Ivan Toney in particular gave them. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't sort it out. They couldn't figure it out. But what's more worrying for me is that they could have won this game 7-3.
Right.
And it was the way they went about the chances seemed a little unprofessional to me. It seemed a little lacking in killer instinct. When you think you're so much better than the opposition, you think you can take things lightly and not concentrate properly on your chances. That's what worried me more than anything else. You can have a defensive display where you lose goals and you can point the finger. It happens. As I said, I've been in great teams that it's happened to. But as far as that ultra-professionalism that Liverpool have had over the last, two or three seasons, that looked as though it was missing to me when they were going forward, with the way they squandered the chances.
Just a reminder, Extra Time is available every single day over on our YouTube channel. It's Don taking us through behind the scenes in his garage trying to sell it.
Is he paying somebody to take that away?
No, he wants someone to pay.
He wants to sell it.
he wants to sell it on eBay.
Well,
be sure to check that out over on YouTube.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, so a very comfortable day's work then for Barcelona, beating Levante by 3-0. And what that means, obviously, despite all the hoo-ha and all the fuss, they are in fact only 5 points off Real Madrid at the top of the table. And Ronald Koeman's side do have a game in hand. Well, for more on this match, let's welcome in, shall we, Gemma Soler and Craig Burley is with us as well. Craig, considering the performances we've seen from Barcelona over the last couple of weeks, this was night and day, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they could have afforded another performance against one of the weaker teams in La Liga. But you've mentioned that Levante were really poor and Barcelona took them apart. Look, you know, they've struggled against Granada, they struggled against Cadiz. These are the kind of teams that they should be beating. And to see Real Sociedad up there in second place, the way they played at the Camp Nou, I think might have been match day one, is quite surprising. But listen, any positivity at the moment is something Ronald Koeman will grab with both hands. Not only 3 goals, but as you mentioned, Ansu Fati coming back. So yeah, it's painted a slightly better picture in the short term. And bearing in mind there's a Champions League game coming up next week, which they can ill afford another shellacking in, it was a much-needed performance in 3 points.
Yeah, it's the first little bit of positivity we've had around Barcelona for such a long time, Gemma, and how important it could be for Ansu Fati to return.
Hola, Dan. Yes, definitely. It was such an emotional afternoon here in Barcelona for the fans. They were depressed before the game because it has been a terrible week, a terrible 2 games we've seen of FC Barcelona. And eventually they see a little bit of joy, a little bit of hope. A lot of young players from La Masia playing together today, 7. They were at the same in the team. And well, Koeman was not on the bench, as you said, rather his second man was there. And Ansu Fati, this is of course the best news. It was like a perfect comeback from this youngster. He was out 10 months for knee surgery, and he came back, you know, not being conservative, playing with a lot of joy, happiness, being that same player we saw 10 months before, and it was all very emotional. Like, his family was on the stand, they were crying. He come and hugged his doctor. It's been a really tough year for this young player, and not only because of the game, because after the game he spoke. This is a team Barcelona with a huge lack of leadership. He took the word, he said a completely different message that we've been listening the last weeks. He said that they will try. We are FC Barcelona, we need to win every game, we are going for La Liga, La Champions. So a very different speech for what Piqué say or even Ronald Koeman.
We know, Stevie, how negativity can spread in a dressing room. Can one moment like this switch things, and that you've got your young, exciting star back? Can that then affect everyone in a positive way?
100%. And I think as much as it's good that the fans got some joy today and Koeman got some joy, but the fact that they played against a team they should beat,
yeah,
and they created so many chances, didn't take them all, but scored three, Ansu Fati comes on, gets his goal, then the whole outlook of the team just changes. The players change. Because the longer you go struggling, it seeps into you and it's hard to get rid of. So today, hopefully, we'll have wiped a load of those cobwebs away,
yeah,
and given everybody a little freshness coming up in the Champions League next game out.
Yeah, Gemma, as Craig mentioned, well, obviously... Go on, Craig.
I was going to say, we were hoping that that you coming back onto the show after a 10-day stint in the hospital was going to bring some positivity back to the crew. But that ain't worked either.
So. Well, what do you expect? I'm not a miracle worker, am I? Gemma, obviously, as Craig mentioned, you've got Benfica and then you've got Atletico Madrid. Two massive games for Barcelona now. Is it a case if Ronald Koeman loses both of those, he's out?
Supposedly, yes. He had like four finals. The first was Cadiz. It was a defeat and a draw, but a defeat for him, a terrible game. Today he saved. He bought himself some time, but it's massive what he has ahead of him, because after Bayern Munich defeat, they need to win in a Estadio da Luz, a stadium that brings them very terrible memories. And then Wanda Metropolitano, I think it's too much difficult game for them, because they are not able to play against teams that they will have, like, from some moments 10 men behind. So it's going to be really, really tough. Supposedly he should be sacked, but they are struggling with money. And right now, apparently they don't have the money to sack him and to sign a new coach. So that could be also some problems with a fair play, a financial problem. Barcelona are struggling. So we will see if they find a way to solve it and to be able to bring a coach that they believe, because the president is still not believing with this coach.
What an absolute mess. Craig, if you're Roberto Martinez, do you leave that kind of cushy number at Belgium to walk into this?
I think I bide my time, to be honest, at the moment, and just wait and see how the land lies. Obviously, you know, if he's going to see it all the way through to the World Cup, then that's, what, 14, 15 months away. Lots of things change in that time, so I don't know what his perspective is in terms of going to Qatar with Belgium, but certainly it's not an ideal time to walk into this job, and I think that's why they'll stick with Koeman short term. But I think the only reason they are going to stick with him is because they probably can't get a real top coach out there to come in. And, you know, he's a dead man walking anyway. I mean, I just can't see him lasting apart from the financial reasons that Gemma mentioned. But at least there's some positivity today. But you get the feeling if they do get some bad results in a row again, the board are going to have to probably make a decision, even with the finances, because the fans are not going to accept it. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. I had to laugh. Some of the names on that graphic we put up there as well, you know, Andrea Pirlo and Joachim Löw and people like that. That's just never going to happen.
Thank you very much, guys. For more reaction to what happened in La Liga this weekend, be sure to go over to our YouTube channel and don't forget to subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Another dramatic win for Juventus this weekend, this time defeating Sampdoria by 3-2. Dybala, Bonucci and Locatelli getting the key goals in that victory as Gab Marcotti joins us. Gab, another 3-2 win for Juve.
Yeah, and at least they're on the left-hand side of the table now. But, Dan, there's good and bad to come out of this game. The bad, Paulo Dybala injured, Alvaro Morata injured. Allegri said after the game, oh, I think we might see them after the international break, which isn't wonderful when you've got a trip to Stamford Bridge to face Chelsea in midweek in the Champions League coming up. And again, they can see goals. It's 20 Serie A games since they've conceded, since they've kept a clean sheet. That's the longest streak since 1955. That's very un-Allegri. Defensively, they've got issues, but positives, they took the lead. Mm-hmm. The midfield, I thought, played a lot better. But still, I think they still kind of need to learn how to take a lead and see out games. That's been a problem this season.
Yeah, what are those expectations going into the game against Chelsea midweek, Gab?
Well, it's funny because Allegri said after the match, he's like, oh, yeah, so I guess they'll miss the game against Chelsea, but that's all right. That's not going to determine whether we go through the next round or not. It's going to be the home and away against against Zenit in match day 3 and 4, which, you know, it's probably true, but it's also kind of like, are you waving the white flag now? But it is a serious implication. You assume, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's late deciding that he didn't want to be around, deciding that so late, I obviously created a problem for them. All they could, in terms of bringing a replacement, all they could do was bring in Moise Keane. So you presume he's going to lead the line. They may have to change the formation to 4-3-3 or put Chiesa up front alongside him. So whichever way you look at it, I think it's distinctly suboptimal.
Elsewhere, Gab, Napoli remain perfect.
6 out of 6 wins for Napoli. Incredible job by Luciano Spalletti. They pretty much, you know, I thought it was, the gap was much bigger than a 2-0 win over Cagliari suggests. Insigne with a penalty. Osimhen on the score sheet again. Victor Osimhen right now is playing as well as any center forward in Europe. I mean, I'm not going to suggest that he's as good as sort of the big five, your Kane's and Benzema's and Lewandowski's and Haaland's, but, you know, he's certainly, and Lukaku's, there you go, there's your five, but he's certainly not playing on a level very, very close to them. And so much for all those people who said, like, who talked about the decline of the traditional center forward and all this stuff. This kid is so smart, so quick, so athletic, so determined. He's just a joy to watch.
Meanwhile, Gab, finally, take us through what happened in the Rome Derby.
What didn't happen at the end, of course, it's a very, very, very angry Jose Mourinho. But I thought Lazio played well. They took the lead early with Milinkovic-Savic. If you haven't seen this, you can fully appreciate his bravery. He got wiped out by the Lazio keeper, sorry, by the Roma keeper, Rui Patricio, effectively clotheslined, was down for a few seconds and got back up. I thought Lazio, you know, they were very smart about, they went about to take the 2-0 lead. Roma thought they'd reopen the game, went to 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 at the end, although that penalty of 3-2 for Roma, kind of controversial. Afterwards, Jose Mourinho coming out, very, very angry. He did what Jose does. He gathered all the players around him on the pitch and lectured them for a long time. Then he went in front of the microphones and, you know, talked about how the refereeing and the VAR wasn't to the standard that he demands, and talked about how effectively he felt Roma had played better and had deserved to win the game. I'm not sure I agree with that. Certainly there were incidents, but on balance, I thought Lazio good for all 3 points.
That leaves Roma fourth in the table then after that defeat. As we mentioned then, Napoli perfect. 6 wins out of 6. Milan, meanwhile, have just dropped 2 points so far this season. They sit in second. Defending champions Inter in third. Well, for a lot more what happened this weekend, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which as always drops on Monday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. What a weekend we have had. Of course, it continues this week where Champions League takes priority. Be sure to stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie, how are you, Stevie? You well?
Oh, marvellous. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, lovely. That's good to hear.
I think I should be asking you how you are.
I'm good. I'm good. Gab Marcotti is with us here as well. Let's get straight to it. Stevie, how do you rate Nuno Espirito Santo?
Oh, I have to say, I've he's gone down a little in my estimation. I actually thought that he may be a good fit for Tottenham.
Right.
Because I like the way that Wolves played.
Yep.
Yes, they had the last 6 months of his term there, they struggled. But then they lost the goal scorer. And that's huge when you just can't go out and get somebody else. So I thought it might be okay. Unfortunately, the way the season started, it's not looking great.
No.
They don't. It's one thing to lose, but it's another thing to lose and look a complete shambles.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what they look like right now.
Gab, is sticking with youth the key to Arsenal's current upward trend, or has Arteta changed something else?
You know what? It was the key a year ago. And then what do? They extended Aubameyang. They didn't sell Lacazette. They signed Willian. But I guess better late than never. They're around to it. I think it's definitely... Obviously, you need to have the right type of younger player, but you know, when you look at the guys they brought in, from Tomiyasu to White to the guys they promoted internally, I think it's exciting, and I think this win was really big for them, because it's one thing to go and, you know, and beat Burnley and Norwich 1-0 after the start they had. It's quite another to go and do it in a derby.
Who does Jules love more, Gab, PSG or Arsenal?
Oh, PSG.
Yeah. PSG.
Come on. You really need me to answer that? Come on, man.
No.
How often have you seen him wear like the thing with like the old school Gunners logo with a stupid gun, as opposed to all the Paris Saint-Germain tat he sports on the show, or stuff that's related to Paris and the City of Light and the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, man.
That's very true. Stevie, Brentford were highly affected at chipping over Trent and flooding the box for the second ball. What is Liverpool's solution to this obvious vulnerability?
Well, I think that the two centre-backs have to do better, Matip right. and Van Dijk.
What was wrong with Van Dijk yesterday?
I think he was caught off guard. I don't think he was expecting such a physical battle.
Right.
Ivan Toney and Bomo were just at them the whole game. And the fact that Liverpool play with the fullbacks pushing on, those holes have always been there.
Right.
But but they've never played against two forwards. So basically it was 2v2. You know, generally teams will have three up front, but there's basically one because the other two are chasing the fullbacks. They couldn't cope with it. I think it caught them by surprise.
Speaking of defence, Gab, what exactly is wrong with Juventus' back line? They keep conceding goals despite after they brought back Allegri.
So I don't know if you remember this, but before the Euros, I was concerned about the insistence on Bonucci and Chiellini, and obviously,
yeah, you said that Turkey had a better back line than Italy.
Yes, and it turned out working very, very well. But the fact is, over a whole season, I think it can be a little bit of a different story. And obviously, Bonucci and De Ligt played today. They still conceded. De Ligt's taken, I think, a lot of criticism. But for example, today, I thought the defensive issues, several of them, were on Bonucci. Certainly, you know, you get beaten by Maya Yoshida in the air. And let me repeat that. Maya Yoshida, not Cristiano Ronaldo, not Romelu Lukaku, Maya Yoshida. So I think all the problems they had in midfield kind of masked over the fact that defensively, I don't know if you really have a super solid base to start from, because you can't expect Bonucci and Chiellini to play every single game at a high level. And when you mix in De Ligt, then you kind of redoing your partnership. So I think that's a big part of it. But more broadly, I didn't like the way Juventus, you know, they take the lead and then they say, all right, guys, let's shut up shop at the back, defend the league and lead, and maybe we'll get something on the break. You know, that worked in the past. That was the old school Juventus when they had different players, when football was played a little bit differently. In this case, you're inviting the opposition forward. And so even a team like Diversa Sampdoria, which is a purely defending counter side, hey, when you're giving them the ball and they're camped out in your half, things can go wrong.
Final question, Gab, after six games, how would you evaluate Mourinho's job at Roma so far?
I'm pretty positive about the job he's done. Look, you know, obviously he's extremely grumpy right now if he's watching after losing the derby, and he's blamed the referee and found all sorts of reasons why he didn't get the 3 points. But I think the reality is they did spend some money in the summer. He got the players he wanted. He got the fans galvanized. It's been a good start to the season, a good start in Europe. They're in the top four. These things are going to take time. What nobody wants to see is... And I know there's cynical fans at Spurs and United are saying, oh, well, we've seen this before. We all love them at the start. And then, you know, the screws come loose. That can't happen this time. Mourinho cannot allow that to happen. And I don't think so far he's been on his best behavior. I think he's learned from his mistakes. I'm not going to go and vouch that everything's going to go fine. But I think he's definitely on the right track thus far, with the caveat that, you know, we kind of said the same after he took over at Spurs and at Old Trafford.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. We'll be heading home now. Watch a great comeback from Europe. What could possibly go wrong? Be sure to join us tomorrow as we'll be looking ahead to round two of the Champions League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.